The polls suggest that this year's presidential race is basically neck and neck as we head down the stretch here. But that's not the only thing that the polls say. There's some more interesting data in there that goes beyond who's just winning and who's losing. Hi, folks. I'm Eric Bain with Reason Magazine. Thanks for joining us on this edition of American Radio Journal. My guest today is Reason's own Stephanie Slade. She's a senior editor at Reason, and she's sort of our in-house expert when it comes to polling, kind of constantly reminding us not to take any poll too seriously. But we're going to talk a little bit about what's in the polls with her today. Slade, thanks for taking some time with us here.
Happy to be with you.
Let's, obviously, I think everybody probably wants me to ask you who's going to win, but we'll get that information soon enough. Regardless of who wins next week, there's been kind of some interesting information that we've gleaned from polling this year. And the thing I wanted to ask you about specifically is the shift that we've seen with African-American and Hispanic voters, and I guess specifically really men within those two categories. What has the polling showed us there during this whole cycle?
Yeah, it's not even just the polling from this cycle. It's actually going back at least as far as 2012. We've seen a shift from where Hispanic and African-American voters overwhelmingly favoring the Democratic Party to that margin eroding over time. So from 2012 to 2020, you saw a 19-point shift by Hispanics in the direction of the Republican Party from the Democratic Party, and among Black voters, an 11-point shift. Now, these two demographic groups, they're still voting more for Democrats than for Republicans, but the size, the overwhelming identification that they once had with the Democratic Party seems to be eroding. It seems like they are more and more up for grabs.
Yeah, the shift from, say, 90% to 70%, pretty significant, even if the majority are still going for Democrats. That has gotten some attention. And then there's also been quite a bit written this cycle about this new dynamic that's emerged where education seems to be, or education level seems to be, kind of a differentiating factor between who's voting for which party.
Yeah. So when it comes to race, I think it's better to think in terms of a de-alignment than a realignment. In other words, it used to be that, you know, Hispanic and African-American voters were very much aligned with the Democratic Party. They identify with that party as being part of their personal identity. And it's seeming to be quite as true as it once was. So that's a de-alignment. That doesn't mean that they're all rushing over to be, you know, Republican voters probably in the time. Education, on the other hand, there does seem to be what you might call a realignment. That is to say, once upon a time, we thought about the Republican Party as being mostly voters who are, you know, more affluent, more highly educated, the business owners, the country clubbers, that sort of thing. Meanwhile, we thought of the Democratic Party as being the home of blue-collar voters, you know, working class, people who don't have a college degree. And that seems to have completely flipped in the last few years. So that if you are a white working class American voter without a college degree, you are much more likely to support Donald Trump than in 2020 than Joe Biden and say than Kamala Harris. So this is actually, and the opposite is true as well, if you have a college degree, you are much more likely than you once were to be a Democratic voter. So this really is a realignment. We've seen the thing that educational attainment points to actually, you know, once upon a time it pointed one direction, and now it points the exact opposite direction.
How much of this do you think is due to Trump? I mean, I know maybe this is a question that goes somewhat beyond just the data that's in the poll, but how much of this do you attribute specifically to Trump, and how much do you attribute to broader political factors that maybe go beyond him or maybe help even explain him?
Yeah, I think it's actually a lot less about Donald Trump and a lot more about where the Democratic Party, especially the sort of left wing of the Democratic Party, has gone in recent years. I think the evidence, I mean, the data is pretty clear that Black and Hispanic voters and working class voters are far more socially conservative than white, highly educated Democratic voters. And what that means is they don't like the woke extremism, right? The sort of craziness on trans issues and the flirting with socialism, this is not winning over these racial minorities and working class voters. In fact, if anything, I think the Democratic Party flirting with more extreme cultural positions is driving these groups out of the Democratic coalition and sort of towards the Republican coalition, as opposed to anything that Donald Trump is doing. If anything, I mean, he's just opening the Republican Party's arms to them, but he's not attracting them with any particular thing that he stands for.
Yeah, they're not necessarily big Trump fans, but they're just trying to get away from something they disagree with. We're talking with Stephanie Slade. She's a senior editor at Reason and our in-house expert on polling and on all things having to do with what the polls are saying here as we head into the election. Slade, last thing before I let you go here, you've used these two terms, de-alignment and realignment. There's kind of a subtle difference between those two things. Explain, if you can, just what those two terms mean and kind of what they mean for the two major parties as we go forward after this election. I mean, regardless of who wins, there's going to be some reconsiderations, I think, on both sides of where the political dynamics in America lie.
Yeah, definitely true. I think, you know, realignment implies that a group of people who were once sort of safe voters for one party, that you could count on them being reliably showing up to vote, let's say, for the Democratic Party, have now switched, and now they're reliably going to be voting Republican. And I think that, again, that has sort of happened, or does seem to be in the process of happening, when it comes to voters without a college degree, that they once were tended to be more Democratic, and now they tend to be more Republican. That's more of a realignment. They've left one camp and entered another camp. Realignment, I think, is a more helpful way of thinking about what happens when voters go from being really identifying strongly with one party to being up for grabs, for being willing to entertain voting for either side. So especially young Black men seem to be people who have really de-aligned from the Democratic Party. They're in the process, it looks like, from de-aligning. They're no longer at such incredibly high margin committed to voting Democrat no matter who the Democratic nominee is. They're very willing and open to the possibility of crossing over. They're up for grabs. They're willing to vote Republican.
Yeah, just a general breakdown of those kind of identitarian silos that we've had in politics for the last couple of decades. Honestly, I think that's a good thing. I think it means more competition, really, within the electorate and within the next election cycles. We'll see how it all shakes out. That is unfortunately all the time we have for today. Oh, I didn't get the chance to ask you who's going to win, Slade. I guess we'll just have to wait and see when the votes get counted. Stephanie Slade from Reason, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Of course, you can find all of Slade's work at Reason.com. While you're there, you can check out my work, check out everything else we're working on as we head down the final stretch run here to the election. I'm Eric Boehm, and you can catch me again next week after the election when we'll try to sort through what we know here on another edition of American Radio Journal.